Hallelujah! Indeed, Jesus is alive. This morning I'd like to continue with the series of messages on God's perspective on plagues and pandemics, part 5. Due to the several calls that I have received of people confused about whether they should ignore or obey the restrictions imposed by the government because of this coronavirus, I'd like to respond to that. I know that some pastors adhere to the restrictions and others don't. I realize that the ones that don't are being arrested for not complying, of course, with the guidelines of safety for themselves and even for others by not quarantining themselves or self-sheltering themselves. And it can be a tricky question, and there are scriptures in God's words concerning both sides of the issue. So I'd like to just clarify a little bit, and my answer in this issue is that it is wise to comply with the restrictions and commands that are in place for our safety and health. I mean, that is just basic. And there are scriptures in the Bible that teach us to obey those that are in authority over us. And so I'll just read out of Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whosoever resists the authority resists the ordinances of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do then what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. So, for the present, while the restrictions are for reasons of health, I truly believe we must obey or we must go along with it. The truth of the matter is that it doesn't only help protect us, but it also protects other people. And I think we should have that sense within us of care for our neighbor. I'll just add something here. It's not a time to play experts on faith. I think that most of the faith that people exert trying to disobey this order and see what they do and walk right in a hospital cell where there's people with this virus and be unprotected is not faith, is presumption. And just try to comply with the health regulations that they give us right now in the world that surrounds us. I know that we have our own King and Master, and he will guide us and inspire us on some alternative way of communicating to the saints and hearing the Word of God. Because basically, the authorities in place aren't recommending that we not minister to one another. They're just recommending that we don't do it all in one place as we used to and have been accustomed to for hundreds of years. And so right now, we are being told we can have services, but just do it through the marvelous media of virtual or cyber or social channels that are available to us today. And just do it, everyone in their own home, separated from one another. If you have to be in public, to be at least 6-8 feet away from one another and wear masks. I think all of these guidelines that are given to us to obey, we should. I think it's rebellion if we don't. I think that we are standing against the laws of the land, and so we'll be punished with it, probably by acquiring this virus or being put in jail or being arrested for not doing so. To be honest with you, we're not being forbidden to preach the word or to have meetings uploaded into the internet channels. If we ever were to be commanded not to preach the gospel, that is where I would draw the line and where I think all Christians should draw the line. In fact, that is where the apostles drew the line. In Acts chapter 5, verse 27, it says, when they had brought the disciples and set them before the council, the high priest asked them, saying, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us. But Peter and the other apostles, all of them, see, they were agreed, answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Now, obviously, we have what seems to be a contradiction. these guidelines that the government has given us is telling us to stay separate one from another, is telling us to shelter in place. And yet God, on the other hand, in Hebrews 10, verse 25, tells us, not forsaking the assemblies of yourself together, as in the manners of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day coming. So now we see that there is a conflict between what they're telling us to do and what God tells us to do. But basically, it's not that we want to. It's not that we have a habit of not assembling ourselves together. When we could, we did. And now we are still doing that through apps like Zoom and others. We're still communicated. We're still in touch with the people of God. We're still exhorting. We're still preaching. We're still comforting. We're still reaching out. It's not like we've been silenced. So I would say, in finishing here about this subject, that we should obey the restrictions placed upon us and pray that no further restrictions will need to be put upon us. It is a comforting word for us that though we may need to be quarantined or sheltered in place, we need not be in fear and can still meet together through the marvelous world of technology, as Jesus is in our midst and He will impart His peace and His Spirit to be with us. So this, of course, was in reference to the disciples after Jesus had died, because they were meeting in homes behind closed doors because of fears of the Jews. And in John chapter 20, verse 19, it says, "So when it was evening on the same day, the first day of the week, though the disciples were meeting behind barred doors because of fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace to you.'" What a great word for now. So our submission and obedience to authority is always unto God. And if they misalign themselves from the chain of command between God and us, we are then free not to obey Him. What do I mean by this? What I'm basically saying is that we receive our commands and our directions directly from God, and our obedience is unto God. If man is between us and God and is aligned with what God commands us to do, we ought to obey them. If they misalign themselves, if they're out of line between our obedience to God and His commands to us, and they are asking us to not do what God is telling us to do, then that gives us a right to obey God and not man, because man is not between us and God now. They have stepped aside and left the space open for us to obey God. That's basically how it works. So now I'm going to move on to another subject, and I'm going to speak just a little bit on man's perspective on today's world news as we hear it, and then I want to speak on God's perspective. So now for today's world news, heard from man's perspective, seems to indicate that this worldwide shaking with the coronavirus has left hundreds of thousands of people infected and thousands dying every day. The world has been thrown into panic and stressful overtime, exhaustive work to mitigate this plague created by godless, evil, wicked men with agendas to disseminate the population in order to control the world. The ripple effect, of course, has left thousands of people laid off of work in the USA alone. The stock market is tanked, the economy headed for deep recession, and the sheltering in place and social distancing has now extended in some places to the end of April and is causing hardships around the world. I hear from people from different countries of the hardship it's being on them. A lot of people don't have money saved up ahead of time. They're totally dependent on God. And so in a way, this is a good thing. But man's message is very negative. This whole thing seen from man's perspective just puts us in doom and gloom, just puts us in that area of hopelessness. It puts fear upon us, and they enlarge that fear, and people are sending out pessimistic and bad news, and doctors that are godless and don't believe in God to begin with are dying left and right, and they are calling out to the public and telling them this is serious, and yes, I believe that it is. From man's perspective, I don't believe they're lying to us. If we tune an ear to what the world says and the way we think becomes their perspective, we're going to be drowned into their fear, and we're going to be swallowed up into their hopelessness. We need to start hearing from God. We need to start seeing things from God's perspective. And so God's news on this worldwide shaking is quite different. I want to just start reading from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. I'll repeat that now from the CEV translation. We should be grateful that we were given a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Praise the Lord. And in this kingdom, we please God by worshiping Him and showing Him great honor and respect. In other words, the kingdom of God cannot be shaken. God is sending the world a message. My kingdom is not being shaken. Yours is being shaken. The world's is being shaken. That is why if we listen to the world, ours is going to be shaken. But God says that His kingdom that is in this world but not of it is not being shaken. It's as solid as a rock. It's as real and as lasting as God Himself. God and His people live in a bubble. We live in a kingdom that is in this world but is different than that which is in the world. His kingdom is in us, and we live in that realm of peace, joy, righteousness, faith. It's filled with abundance of life. That kingdom is in us. That atmosphere is in us. All of that resides in us. These are times where we need to tap into that atmosphere and into those virtues that reside in us by the Holy Ghost and manifest them to the outward world around us and bring that atmosphere that we personally enjoy to those who are in the reach of our influence. But now let me say, if we are not enjoying, if we are not living in that kingdom, if we are not focused on that kingdom, if we're not allowing that kingdom to take place in us and to rule through us, then we're no different than the world. We're going to be under the fear, the dread, the panic, and probably open to receive the disease. The one that lives in us has no disease and takes on no disease. He is not dying from that disease, and He doesn't plan to. And He that lives in us doesn't plan to take it on either. So we need to give the world a dosis of the atmosphere that lives within us, and we need to allow that atmosphere of heaven to permeate us and come out into our outward world for our sake and for the sakes of others. We live in a day when these kingdom virtues need so much more to be manifested in the kingdom of this panicked world. Let me just say that the coronavirus pandemic continues shaking the world. The kingdom of this world is being shaken. I believe that the report of man is correct. It is being shaken. This alarming pandemic, as well as the cleanup operations, of course, that are taking place around the world, is leaving in its wake countless hearts crying out to a God that up till now they didn't think existed or they ignored, even though they knew He existed. I believe God is preparing for a worldwide move of ingathering of souls into His kingdom. I truly do. People will grasp at God's good news, the message of hope, even though it is laced with the truth of repentance and forsaking of dead works of sin. You know, up till now, there's been an aversion in the world to this gospel of repentance of sin. They have felt we're too judgmental. They don't want anything to do with the Ten Commandments. They don't want anything to do with living the gold standard of morals that God established for the earth and for all mankind. They've been fighting us with all of this. But now, through this pandemic shaking that's going around in the world, their hearts are changing. Their hearts are crying out to this God. And like I just said, I believe that they are ready for this good news, even though it may be laced with the truth of repentance and the forsaking of dead works of sin. Because as far as they're concerned, if it works, they need it. I believe that our cleansed and anointed mouths can now speak words that bring life, conviction of sin, and ultimately peace to the multiple thousands that may be much closer to meeting their Maker than they anticipated. This shaking is producing a worldwide awakening, and it will empower Christians to herald the message of hope for the poor and devastated around the world. So during this shaking, God is calling his brave soldiers to preach the good news in the power of the Holy Spirit, healing the sick, praying even for those that are infected with the coronavirus. The Lord has sent us to deliver the oppressed, the tormented souls, and give them peace, trust, and faith in Jesus. I mean, isn't our commission found in Mark 16:15? Didn't Jesus say, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature"? He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs shall follow those that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They will speak with other tongues. Even if they take up serpents, if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means harm them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Let's just remember that in Matthew 6:10 it says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." In Revelation 11:15, "Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, 'The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever.'" Let's not forget that in the end, Satan doesn't get this world. In the end, he is not the ruler of everyone and everything. In the end, all things will be gathered in Christ. He is the loser. He is the one that has been sentenced to eternal death in the lake of fire, all his angels and his followers. You know, I want to say that it was a blessing to hear President Trump calling our nation to prayer and to trust in our God during this pandemic. I thought that was wonderful. I was also pleased to hear the Christian president of Brazil invoke his country to pray and seek God during this crisis. And a week ago, I heard the Christian president of Paraguay calling his people to trust in God and not fear. He quoted from Isaiah 41:10, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my right hand of righteousness." In Zephaniah 3:17, "The Lord thy God," he was referring to his people, "in the midst of thee," that's where he is, "he is mighty and he will save." I love that part. He will save. Register that in your spirit. Now I'd like to go on to a subject that is on my heart this week because it's such a special week. Sunday the 5th of April, remember, is Palm Sunday, for us here in the United States at least. Friday the 10th is Passion Days, the days that we remember the scourging, the death, and the burial of the Lord Jesus. And most of all, Sunday the 12th, which is Resurrection Day. And I wanted to share these things with you while still ministering on the subject of God's perspective on these plagues and pandemics, and fit this in because I believe it is part of it. So I'd like to continue by telling us that we as Christians must celebrate the Lord Jesus in remembrance of all that he has done. We will not fall for this evil, godless, and wicked scheme that these perpetrators of the deadly COVID-19 virus have placed upon us. They who obviously scheduled their worldwide pandemic around the time of Easter, their purpose, no doubt, was to distract from the Lord Jesus Christ and to keep people quarantined and focused on their demonic virus when the world should be celebrating Jesus. That makes me angry. Makes something rise up inside of me. It's just like the zeal of the Lord. You are not going to steal from the Lord a celebration that belongs to him. We've already done everything in the world we could, to not even mention that Christmas is Jesus' birthday or has anything to do with Jesus. It's just a great day for business people and corporations everywhere to make money like they don't make the rest of the year. That's insane. That's stealing from him a celebration that belongs to him. Christmas is his birthday. Easter is his celebration, a celebration of what he did, of his suffering, his enjailment, being scourged, being hung on a cross, having a spear thrust through his heart. Oh, I'm telling you, we are going to celebrate Christ. The demons of the world are not going to take away the celebration of Jesus from our heart. It is one of the most important weeks in our calendars, as Christians, of course. And in spite of this pandemic, we should all plan to celebrate our Lord and King. It reminds us of the time when Christ rode into Jerusalem on an ass's colt and was celebrated with shouts of acclamation and hosannas, recognizing who he really was. It marked the beginning of the Passion Week in which Jesus was to suffer and die on the cross for our sins and be resurrected 3 days later. In John 12, verse 13, it tells us that people took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." So this celebration took place because they all knew that Christ was the Messiah, as it says in Psalms 118, 25, and 26. It took place because they recognized that Christ was King, as in 2 Kings 9:13. And finally, they all honored him as both King and Messiah, as we see in Zechariah 9:9. We also, together with the Jews, should recognize and honor Jesus as the Lord and King. We need to do the same today, as he continues to be Lord and King over the earth in times of plagues and pandemics. Let me tell you today, even earthly kings in past history have recognized this truth. Really, they have. Let me read to you out of Daniel chapter 5, verse 21. "And Nebuchadnezzar was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild asses, and they fed him with grass like oxen. And his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appoints over it whomsoever he wills." Later, after Daniel was freed from the den of lions, another king, Darius, writes, and we find that in Daniel 6, verse 25, "Then King Darius wrote, 'To all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell on the earth, peace be multiplied to you.'" Boy, what a word for us today. "Peace be multiplied to you." Verse 26, "I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions." Let me tell you today, we have a sure word. The very fact that God left us the Bible, and that these prophets who had left us words from God still remain truth and echo in our ears today. Even the apostles, as Peter in 2 Peter 1:9 pens, and I'll read in the CEV translation. All of this makes us even more certain that what the prophets said, plural, is true. So you should pay close attention to their message, as you would a lamp shining in some dark place. You must keep on paying attention until daylight comes and the morning star rises in your heart. King James says, we have also a more sure word. And believe me, we have a sure word. Everything God has told us and given us in his word has come to pass. Let me just say that going back to the celebration of Christ, Christ's triumphal entry into Jerusalem signaled the start of the last week of his earthly ministry, you know. In a few days' time, he was to be betrayed, scourged, mocked, and nailed to the cross to die, only to rise again, hallelujah, on the third day after his death. So this week is when we should remember that our sinless Savior took the punishment that we should be receiving while we were still sinners. Christ died for us. That is written. What a wonderful opportunity, while we're still at home and with family, just spend time with the Lord and take the elements of the Lord's Supper, identifying not only with his suffering for our sin, but also his glorious resurrection from the dead. That glorious resurrection from the dead gave us life, gave all who believe life. And I praise the Lord for that. What a wonderful moment. We can spend time with the Lord. We can pray. We can confess our sins. We can do it vicariously and pray for the sins of the world. We can pray for the world and for their condition and for what they are going through. And I think it's good. I think we should pray for those that are on the front lines. And we should continue to pray for our president and for our vice president, for their families, for their safety, for all of these things. And I think that is such a wonderful thing. But I think principally, we ought to spend this time, especially this week, we ought to spend this week before the Lord celebrating his passion, celebrating what he went through for us, and celebrating his wonderful resurrection. I really do. I think this is a wonderful time to do that, a wonderful opportunity for us to take of what represents the broken body of Jesus for our health and for our healing, and also that which represents the blood that as we partake of it, cleanses us from all sin. And I thank God. I thank for making those provisions. And he said, every time you do this, do it in remembrance of me. He wants us to remember him. He wants us to celebrate him. So I want to say that the resurrection of Jesus, not just the passion, but the resurrection of Jesus brought to all of us incredible benefits. Let me just mention a few. In 1 Peter 1:3, I'll read from the ESV translation. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, then, is the great capstone of our faith and the bountiful hope of our future. So first, let me just say, by his resurrection, Jesus has overcome death so that he might make us share in the righteousness he won for us by his death. In 1 Corinthians 15, it's very clear that if Jesus had not been raised from the dead, our faith is futile, and we are still in our sins, verse 17. You might ask, if Jesus died on the cross for our sins, bearing the curse that we deserved, shouldn't we be free from our sins, whether he rose or not? The answer is, without the resurrection, nothing has been conquered. Sin hasn't been conquered. Death hasn't been conquered. The devil hasn't been conquered. Jesus' resurrection from the dead testifies not only that Jesus is the Son of God, but in Romans 1:4, but that the offering of life was an acceptable sacrifice to God. Jesus being raised indicates that God was satisfied, divine justice was satisfied with what he had done. He paid the full price. The punishment is over. The merit of Christ was proven worthy. The debt was paid. Death had been vanquished. Sin had been atoned for. Hallelujah. Second, by Christ's power, we too are already now resurrected to new life. Our hope of new life is not just a future goal, it is a present reality. The powerful feat of Jesus Christ's awesome resurrection brought eternal life and promise of personal resurrection to all who would believe in him. I'm reminded that I can't save myself. You can't save yourself. Christ saved us. And he made provision for our salvation. He made provision for our healing. So regardless of the outcome to any of us these days of pandemic, the Lord remains an awesome Savior. Remember that. He will save us to the uttermost. He will save to the uttermost all those who put their trust in him. We have hope. We have faith. Regardless of what takes place, God's people get to live. Regardless of what happens, because Jesus said in John 11:26, "Whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? Boy, what a question. I think that is a great question for all of us. Do we believe that? Do we believe in our hearts what he said, that everybody who exists in this world if they managed to believe in him, would never die. So we live now. We'll live in heaven after leaving this earth. We will continue to live during the 1,000-year reign of Christ Jesus. Our life will be ongoing even in the new world that he creates after this one is destroyed by fire. And who knows what all he has planned in our eternal existence. As Christians, we don't need to be so focused on how long we get to live out this short phase out of our eternal existence. Why should we? We get to live, period. Because of the resurrection, we get to live. I'd like to give you a third benefit of Christ's resurrection. It guarantees our own future glorious resurrection. Jesus was the first fruits of these resurrections. He was the seed that was planted in the ground and came out. And if we were planted with him in his death and resurrection by faith and identified with him in all of these things, we too will have our own personal resurrection. In 1 Corinthians 15:23, it says that we will have our own personal resurrection. Easter confirms that we have new bodies coming. No one knows exactly how God will draw close those molecules one to another from the sea, the ground, the ashes, or wherever. It just said that they will give them up. I don't know if he will use one little strand of DNA and put it all together. All I know is that what he puts together is going to be better than what we have now. It's going to look just like us and everybody will recognize us. That's who God wanted. That's the footprint that he worked with. And we will be like that. But a lot of the limitations we live with now are going to be gone. They're going to be gone. We're not going to have these limitations. We're going to have a body like his that not just can be translated from time to time, but we can just go to the universe. What a wonderful plan God had for all of us. Certainly going to be better. Therefore, in Philippians 3, verse 20 and 21, we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even all things to be subject to himself. Let's spread this awesome news. Let's spread this awesome gospel of salvation. There's so much hope, deliverance, peace, grace, forgiveness, mercy because of Jesus. Let's share this with one another. We're not confined in that way. Just because we're secluded, sheltering in place, and just because we preserve distance from one another, like they tell us to, it doesn't really mean that you can't share. We can use the same means that preachers do. They're not the only ones that can use these marvels of technology to communicate with people. Get the message out, but also share it with the world. Publish it where people can know it, where they can hear it. There's hope in the name of the Lord. There is hope in that wonderful name and in the work of Jesus Christ. We have been absorbed in that lifeline of God, and that life dwells within us. Praise the Lord. So for now, the world may be under imposed restrictions. Maybe it'll all be lifted shortly. But as God's people, we are not to fear, for God is in control of everything. He really is. So don't forget that. And let's celebrate together this wonderful week and not let whatever the purposes of these demonic people had alter the course of what we know we need to do. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. Be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. The Lord said, so in this way shall they put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Amen. At the end here, I'd like us just to listen to a song sung by Joseph Larson on the blood of Jesus. I thought it would give a good atmosphere at home for you as you partake of the Lord's Supper and just play him in the background. Thank the Lord for the blood of Jesus and praise God for that hope that we all have in Christ. Amen. Bless the Lord. Soon enough we'll all be together and we'll rejoice in the Lord. God bless you.
One dark night in Egypt, a fearful time.
See you.